The idea of this panel, I think, is to share good practice, what we've seen that works in different conventions and different fandoms, so that we can share our experiences, whether it's from a position of somebody who has worked on a convention with a long running tradition, or somebody who has worked on a brand new and started a brand new
tradition.
But still, it's a different set of challenges, and I think con runners from all over Europe can learn from each other and support each other with advice and perhaps even help and networking. And there's value, great value there. I know of examples of international networking bringing really nice results from Croatia, and even share as well. And I would of course like to invite the audience to share their experiences as well. We'll try to make time in the panel, but also to get to know each other so that we can speak more later today. Okay, so I'm passing the word to you. Okay.
Hello, I'm Snæbjörn. I am here representing Icelandic fandom. I'm the Icelander at Eurocon. It doesn't quite have such an impressive amount of people as the Croatian fandom or long history. So we have had, I was part in founding IceCon a few years ago, and we'll have the third convention next year. So it's maybe like a 6 year or 7 year history of fandom in Iceland, but I'm mostly here to learn from the other panelists, I think.
So I'm Brian Nisbush. I've been running conventions in Ireland, the UK and elsewhere for a while now, over 20 years I think when I last looked. Some Octagon, a bunch of gaming conventions. 5 years ago this weekend we ran ShamrockCon, Eurocon in 2014. And I ran a little con in Dublin, I don't know if you ran it last weekend. 5,800 people, so happy. But yeah, so I've been doing this for a while.
I'm Maxim Park, I'm from Poland. I'm running conventions since 2003, when I started the Agent Fandom. And my recent hobby is to travel to conventions around Europe mainly, and look how they are done locally. Everywhere,
well,
whatever I can get.
Hello, my name is Morten Svartason. I'm from Sweden, Stockholm. Been running conventions since 2006. And gone to the conventions in, well, many parts of Europe. Also been a bit involved in running, apart from Sweden, I've been more or less been involved in conventions in Finland, I suppose. That's also why I'm here, to give a bit of point of view from that side. It's quite different.
Okay, now let's just see our audience. If you could let us know the country you're coming from and perhaps a convention that you're involved with.
Hi, my name is Darius Popov. I'm from Romania. I am part of organizing committees and conventions at conventions from more than 25 years. I've been 48 years old at the 1994 Eurocon in Timișoara. Since then, I'm part of almost every convention in the west part of Romania and also in the last years of the National Convention of Rome. And I had a bit for the Eurocon in 2021 that unfortunately had to cancel due to some internal problem in the Romanian family.
It all happens.
Yes.
Hello, I'm Nacho Lejoin from Spain. I regularly attend the Spanish, French and Portuguese convention. The Spanish convention is ISPACON. This is a t-shirt from it. Portuguese convention is for Fantástico at Lisbon, it's always at Lisbon, and the French convention, I mean, Utopia is at Nantes every year.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ivan, and I'm running FairCon in committee for now, I think
more than 15 years. And I must say that I'm younger than 40 years old, so
that's a lot.
I'm Johan Angermark. I have been an organizing con since 1985. I'm one of the founders of the Swedish National Convention, but I don't really have a convention that I'm involved in because SweCons travel around the country and in my local community, my local fandom, we usually come up with a new nice name and a new committee for every single con, just because we think it's fun.
Yeah, okay. Who would also like to introduce themselves? Michaela?
Hi, my name is Michaela. I'm from the same convention as Ivan and Petra. I was also involved in some of the other local conventions, as were Ivan and Petra, but for lots of conventions. I ran Hospitality of Helsinki, and I skipped her intro, so she ran, she was at the division head at WorldCon this year. I'm doing absolutely nothing here but enjoying myself.
Hello, I'm Helena from Gothenburg in Sweden. I do very small traditional conventions. We have one every year. So it's fun to hear about these big events that we never do.
But you should.
My name is Jan Vanek, I'm from Prague, Czechia, and I'm actually not much of a convoer, let alone a conrunner, but I was involved slightly with the 2002 Czech Eurocon, and a couple of years ago I also organized the surprise holiday party for the 60s Bears, the only founder of the Czech fandom, which was a bit like a little one evening con, and it certainly gave me a new perspective on what conrunners do.
Hello, my name is Tauri and I'm from Estonia, and I attended our local convention called ESCON nearly 20 years.
I'm Ed Fortune, I'm a journalist for a magazine called Slobbers, and I'm here to find out about more conventions so I can put it in my magazine.
I'm Vatoslav from Croatia. Long-time congoer, along with my friend Chucky, who is going to introduce himself next.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, another conrunner from a different convention in Croatia.
Yeah, my name is Patrick, and I also come from Croatia, but different convention. I'm from Istria, running the district from 2000. So yeah, we have a big society in Croatia.
Joining from the business meeting, and we have bid runner for Eurocon 2024.
Patrick, can you? Patrick, the mic, please.
Take one of them.
Yes, please.
I'm Dave Hurst, I'm from Toronto, Canada. I was a founding member of the Ottawa Science Fiction Convention of that from April on ran for about 10 years. I'm now on the board of directors for the local Toronto Convention at ASTA, which is approaching its 40th year. And I was one of the people of the founding meeting that started the bid for New Zealand in 2020.
Well done.
Hi, my name is Sini. I am from Finland. I have been doing conventions when the Helsinki has been coming, and I was part of the program team in Helsinki and also part of the program team in Antwerpen and also some OCOMs, which is a very small, relaxed Finnish and the Swedes, but everyone is welcome.
Wonderful. I've heard so many wonderful things about Antwerpen. Who else would like to introduce themselves? So I just mentioned that we have here the Czech bid for the Czech bid for Rotterdam 2024.
Yeah,
brought it.
It's on.
Well, I'm both from the Netherlands. I've been organizing stuff for a couple of years now. Maybe at least 10 and the past, the late 60s and 70s, we've been doing conventions. I'm treasurer of the Dutch Fiction Organization, founded in 1965. That's a long time ago.
Greetings, David Valley. I'm a former ESFS chair and very much active in promoting conventions both here in Ireland, in Britain, of course, where I reside, and on the continent of Europe, of course, yes.
And we have here Chair.
Yeah, I'm John Collis. I'm the chair for the Eurocon 2022 bid in Luxembourg. I've been the long-running president of Luxembourg Science Fiction Fantasy Society since 1995. We've been running LuxCon since 2014 and have been involved in all kinds of European shenanigans for the last 5 years or so, trying to make a presence and trying to learn from everybody.
Hi, I'm Sharon Sprosky from Massachusetts, United States. I'm involved with Boscon and Orisha and MCFI. We ran NorthCon 2, 3, and 4. I co-chaired CustomCon last March. I chaired a SmallCon in 1997 and worked and volunteered for lots of WorldCons and other conventions, and I'm on the DISCON 3 committee.
Wonderful. Would anybody else would like to introduce themselves here? This is,
Hi, it's Dylan. I'm Luke. I make comics and I've been secretary for Caption in Oxford for 4 years. Obviously, I was running UK Comics Con. Doing stuff with TypeCon for the Start Semi committee member, doing Belfast Comics Power Talk by running that. Belfast Comics Con 2011, and various bits at Birmingham and Bristol and UK and Ireland stuff mostly, some Dutch stuff. Nice to meet you.
Wonderful. Okay, now please remember each other's faces, so you can have a drink, talk about more about conventions over plates or coffee or tea. Yeah.
We don't need to remember faces to have a drink.
That's true. Okay, so we have quite a nice selection here of conventions from all over Europe, and one of the most, the greatest wish of every conrunner is to get more people in, get more people to their convention and to the fandom. If I'd like to invite you to share some of the things that you've seen that work well at bringing people into your convention. How do you promote? What is your outreach? Where do you present your convention? Is it just social media? What has worked? Do you do outreach? Have you seen conventions do outreach to schools, to libraries, other ideas?
Should I start? The one with the least experience. Start to tell them how we do it and how we run it. Okay. Well, when we started only a few years ago, we had no idea if anybody else was interested at all. So it was, of course, a very nice surprise when we discovered that there were other Icelanders. Because the fandom, most people speak very good English, so they spend their time on the internet discussing with other fans, but you'd never know who's the Icelander and who is not, and so we don't have such a strong knitted community. But since we started, it has grown a little very organically. I think we sometimes spend money on advertising on social media, and I think that has worked up to an extent. I think guests of honor, of course, attract people. People want to go see their authors and have a drink with them. NiceCon is very nice for that because there are so few people. You always get to spend time with whoever is the guest, and you manage to meet pretty much everybody. So, yeah, we haven't reached out to school, but we've been in libraries. I used to work in a library, so I used the opportunity there to advertise it to people I knew would be interested. And of course, like we have also been trying to push ourselves into the local media, and with some success. I mean, we have gotten our press releases always published somewhere, and I think that works as well.
But when we talked yesterday, you mentioned that half of your program stream is in English, and that has drawn members from abroad.
Oh no, the program is today completely in English. We had just have like a single program, and it's in English, and most of the participants come from abroad as well, because I think half of the convention goers come from you know, outside of Iceland, which is nice. It's the kind of injection we need into the fandom, because we all know each other. It's such a small country that, you know, we are very welcoming to new guests. We need that kind of energy every 2 years. And but that was one of the big surprises when we started. We didn't really expect people to be very like interested in coming to Iceland and partying with us. And now we like now we think about it a lot. And and of course we have the program entirely in English. For that reason, but we also have, because it's a biannual thing, we have one only in Icelandic every other year, which is, we don't need much to go to, but of course it's only in Icelandic, and it's only like you know just a very informal kind of thing.
So I mean, the maxim that I've always used is advertise, and when you think you've advertised enough, advertise some more. I mean, I think we're at a really interesting inflection point now. Especially with Europe, with generally a, I'm going to be very, very broad in my stereotyping here. It tends to be a younger bunch of con runners, is what I'm seeing at this point in time, versus some of the world cons that I'm working on, have been working on. A lot more digital here. Still a slight emphasis on print media in the US, albeit obviously that's changing as well. So, we can't just go completely digital, nor should we, because while social media and outreach and all of those things are hugely important, showing up at events is absolutely crucial. One of the big ways we got the Irish, because Ireland's conventions are very heavily weighted towards role-playing games conventions, tabletop games conventions, who had never been to Octocon or even to ShamrockCon 5 years ago, and the way we got them in was we showed up. Now, they all knew me, but standing up during charity auctions, during some of the evening events, talking about it in person was the way we got those people through the door. A huge number of them were involved as area heads at the convention and came along, which they never would have before. Now, Worldcon's a kind of an easy draw to a certain extent, but the same thing, we know now they're going to go to more of these cons because they enjoyed themselves. And I think really importantly is making sure you have someone on your committee whose job it is to do this. Because it's one of those things where if it's just everybody's job or the chair's job, it gets deprioritized. And you need to have people who are thinking about it and actually have some manner or class of strategy in mind to deal with the inevitable thing that somebody on some social media is going to say something which is going to harm your advertising. And to be prepared for that, the inevitable controversy. But having someone who's doing it, making sure it's not just digital, it's not just one other thing, and you are physically turning up to people to tell them about how amazing your event is absolutely crucial.
So we have the example of, you know, having English programming as drawing, you know, members from abroad, and the context in Ireland of drawing members from gaming conventions or conventions heavily focusing on gaming and getting them to come to your sci-fi convention. What about Polish examples?
So Paul, I will disagree with your statement that what we dream for is to grow our conventions. It's true for many conventions, however, it doesn't have to be true. I like to organize smaller events that are going for a few hundred members, and a lot of people have this tendency that we must grow, and I do believe that sometimes it's good to stay at your capacity. You need to grow new people because some people will stop attending, so you need to grow more people. But it's not always about growing, sometimes it's just about sustaining the current membership level. And it's good to remember that you don't have to be the biggest one. The biggest Polish con is right now getting close to 50,000 people.
They exceed 50,000 people this year. Yeah, 50,
okay,
52,
was,
yeah.
Okay, it was 48.
Yeah.
So it's it's huge, it's enormous, and I like doing conventions for like 150 to 300 people, and I have no ambition to try to run a better economy going into 50,000 or even 10,000. So this is one thing, that it's not always about growing. The second thing is that you need to reach out to whom would like to get interested in your event. So with one of our small role-playing game convention that is around 200 members maybe, we started to work with the city library, and we're making some meetings in the library over a month before the convention. So like, what is role-playing games, and play a short game, and it attended very few people. I probably something like 5 or 10 people appeared at the convention. What in 200 is a visible percentage, but still not many people. But it was to drag people into role playing. So this is one way. If you are going to appeal to readers or to whatever group, you need to first think where your group that you would like to attract is spending their time and what they like to do. And I think this is part of what you mentioned, Brian, that's what Dublin was doing. We were going where the potential members were.
Yeah, you mentioned attracting people with guest of honors. I must admit that we tend to just choose guest of honors that we think fit in the program and that would make a good convention. And I'm hopeful, of course, that would at least mean that people that come will return. There is one exception with where I was involved, that was very much an exception, that when we were organizing the Archipelago Con, so that was in a new venue in Mariehamn, which of course, how do we get, it's a very small place, I mean, you need to be, basically everybody going there needs to get going there by ferry at least. So how do we get people there? Well, we made a bit of a shortcut.
We needed 800 people to afford it.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of repeated. We had a convention center, and we needed to basically fill it to be able to make even. So get even. We managed to get George R. Martin as guest of honor, which was a sure way to fill the gap. But that is the basic. I can give other examples though. From when it comes to marketing, I can say we are great at it, but. Some things have worked. When we were organizing Eurocon in 2011 in Stockholm, we did try a bit harder than normally. And for example, we a group of people that we realized were interested but had not been attending our conventions other than were a community of online community, more of the book bloggers. And we managed to get them interested and actually getting a bit of a hype for the convention there. I don't know exactly how many more we got from that, but I think it was significant. And also, the interesting part is that they have continued coming to the conventions later. That has been important.
And the 26s?
Yeah, we had another thing we have done for a while. Yeah, have we?
It's like in a theater, it's a whisperer.
Yes, one thing, yes, the simple thing we've done, we have had a problem of looking at aging fandom in Sweden as well. So one very basic thing we've done is that people are 26 going for free in most of our cons. And I can also make a clarification that when we say our cons, we are now talking about the Swedish cons with the core is science fiction and fantasy literature. Like roughly this one. Of course, there's the other stuff as well. But in Sweden, there are big other conventions in gaming, for example, and have been big like anime conventions. I don't know if they're that big anymore, but yeah.
Cosplay is huge.
Yeah, cosplay.
LadCon has 10,000
people. Yeah. And so it is quite divided. I mean, with the literature, I mean, we haven't been doing conventions for a long time in Sweden, but there is no like one long running one. But we do still have a community that do return to the other kinds of cons. Yeah.
So I would just like to share a bit about Croatia as well. We have, it's not just LadCon, it's we have several large conventions and numerous conventions. That are smaller or single day events that are science fiction conventions. But most of the larger events have chosen to introduce a cosplay competition. Previously, so up until 7-8 years ago, there was just casual, you know, costuming, people showing up in costume. But with a cosplay competition, sort of institutionalized, it drew in a huge number of people who would have gone to the local versions of Comic Cons.
Young audience. That's the main thing. A much younger audience.
And of course, it's not a direction each conrunner would choose, every conrunner would choose. But in Croatia, it has worked not only at Sverakon but at other conventions in basically drawing more people in. For all programming, so we have more people and young people at literature programming, and so not just they don't just come to do cosplay; they come to join the program as well. And there's been a really successful, if I may share, sort of tips, really successful international cooperation. And I'd like just even to add a few sentences, if I may, then yeah.
Okay, so
stand up.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Hi. Okay, so we with PeerCon, we had a conversation. PeerCon is the largest con, I think, in the whole Europe, and it is 50,000 people.
France has more.
But that's Comic-Con.
It's a con. It's a large con.
It's a large con. And we spoke what we can do together. And guys from Slovakia, Serbia, Poland, and from Lithuania, Croatia. I think now we have more than 8 or 10 countries. And we have a competition each year in other country, and it is cosplay competition, and the main person who won a prize at Zagreb goes to another con, and he is guest there or she, and there is a huge competition with 10 countries, and I think that many other conventions should be involved in this. I spoke with you, and we will spoke later about that also. And next year we will have Lithuania; they're also coming. So I think that's a good way to bring another people to your conventions, new people, and new guests also. And it's good for marketing, because on our cons when Mihaela was chair, she asked me what we can do better or what we can do more, and I was like, we need to have some cosplay guests and everything else, because in last 4 years we increased for more than 1,000 people because of that.
So this is, all these conventions are science fiction conventions.
Yeah.
It's not Comic Con. Yeah.
And let me just add, it's much more fun to attend a con if there is cosplay going on. I think it would be even much more fun to be in here with, if there was somebody in cosplay right now, as a panelist or in the audience. It just gives the, it just adds always something. It just makes it more fun to be in the space.
See, this is actually fascinating to me, because one of the things, Octocon, for instance, had a costume competition for years and years, and then it died off.
Yeah.
I mean, people weren't doing it. I remember the last desultory competition we had, which would be, I don't just imagine it's a while ago now. It was a couple of costumes. No one was really interested at that point in time. Discord conventions always in the masquerade, lots of those kind of things, but it wasn't the same kind of thing. And even then, obviously now at Octagon and here you'll see a few people in costume, but it just isn't a big thing because that kind of thing has largely gone now to the Comic Cons. And it's a question of, I'm not asking it, it's one thing to consider of how to actually bring that in a way that doesn't turn the event itself into a pop culture Comic Con event. To
write
that
right
line.
I have an answer. Yeah, we
have one comment and one question. And your, I think when you are talking about it dying out, it's the same thing for EasterCon. But that's the costumers, that's the traditional science fiction convention costumers. The cosplay crowd is a much younger crowd, and it's a completely different demographic. If you manage to find a way to bring them in, it would revive again, if that's what you want to do. So that costuming, traditional costuming has been dying out, doesn't mean that cosplay is actually quite a different thing. But my question to you is, how did you manage to, we have tried a couple of times to widen our interests in our conventions and in con cons I've been working on, and every single time when there has been no one on the con con has really been interested. I mean, it has been turned out to be a really bad idea. We have found someone. Could you run this for us? Because we don't care about this, but I mean, some people seem to like it, so it would be a good idea to add it. And that has always ended in disaster. Do we actually have people on the con who like costumes? How do you get that?
But this is the thing. If you decide as a committee that you want to do something, and you find someone, you support those people, the chair has to go. We're doing this because exactly as you say, if you just get someone in randomly, it'll be terrible. You know, they won't feel supported, they won't feel part of them. We had this a lot with games conventions and Magic Gathering tournaments for a while, because we had the person who knew about card games and they'd be off to one side, and we were much younger then, but it's about good management. It's about integration of your team to make sure that those people are supported, feel part of it, feel that, yes, this is something the convention wants and is making space for. It isn't putting in a basement, isn't putting in an annex somewhere or otherwise. And that's all to do with conventions. That's about team building and management, and it's absolutely vital that they need to be a part of that team.
If you're not interested.
Yeah.
They don't do it. I mean, genuinely, you don't do it if you're not going to do it well.
When you go into what you mentioned, Johan, that about the demographics, it's not only about the age of people who are playing cosplay. It's important to understand that cosplay, at least in Poland, and from what I have seen in other places as well, started with manga and anime fandom, and then with video gaming fandom, and now the pop culture in general, especially DC and Marvel, is coming in. So to attract those people, it's not only about saying we'll have a cosplay competition, you need to have the programming item, you need to have dealers that will be interesting to them. Of course, you can lie to your members that we will make cosplay and it will be great, and some of them will come, but if they will not see anything, they will just say that you lie to them, you promise cosplay and you just get a competition, and that's all. And another thing is that also cosplay, to do it on a decent level, is quite expensive, also for the convention, to have the proper scene, for the proper lighting and so on. And you need to have also the judges that can really appreciate how the cosplay costume is done. It's Polish, cosplay in Poland is very popular. I'm not a big fan of cosplay, but I was observing it over the last 15 years, and it has really changed from using the cardboard and whatever you were able to find at home to making costumes that cost you 100 hours of work and thousands of lotes to buy the materials, even if you are making everything by yourself. You need to buy different fabrics, different gems, raisins, and a lot of stuff that is really, really crazy expensive. So it's not about saying you will have cosplay at all. You need to prepare something for the people, and also, as you mentioned, support the person running it. It's a big thing. It's not just something you're adding, oh, you'll have cosplay at this, it's okay.
Those are all very, great points.
To Michael and Etislav.
So, what I wanted to say when writing to him at Croatian conventions, some of the younger generation authors are also cosplayers. So when Desna Kulik presented her YA
novel, which was the first one for her, there was actually on the panel a Catwoman cosplay presenting her werewolf lesbian novel. That was awesome. Okay. And one of the other things that we did initially is that we took the cosplay competition and had it run with the oldest national genre award, that was a literary award, together. And later we had feedback that was not the best feedback from the cosplayers, the lighting, the stage, the lateness, whatever. And then we made it another time that was better for them. That was the way that we included the gamers as well. We also found people who were interested and made them part of the committee. But also Petra, for instance, I remember you taking great pains into including the gaming chief into all of the committee activities. He didn't like it particularly, but he did come and they felt included. And everything that they ever told us was wrong with that part of the programming, we went out of our way to fix and try to help them. So that would be a good beginning, I think. The other thing about the younger members that I wanted to add, not just the cosplay, that is a newer development. One of the things that Sarah does that I'm particularly proud of is they have a literary and art competition for every elementary and secondary school in the state for more than 30 years. And kids that win, their parents come to get the reward with them. And that is given out straight before the eldest national genre literary award. And then when that kid in 3 years says, "Mom, I want to go to this," the parents say, "Fine, go, have fun." Most of our younger generation con runners have been through this competition and are running that particular competition in some other areas now.
It also works well when you're applying for funding from state, you know, you present some nice, you know, work for a community. Okay. Do we have any comments or questions from there? No, yeah. Martin, will you?
I will run.
I just wanted to go back to the contents of the convention. Since we're a really young convention, and when we launched into it coming out of a big event that we organized, coming out of gaming. Like Brian, I mean, we've basically been gamers, and then realized, well, we actually like novels as well, and films, and anime, and manga, and all that stuff. So when we came out of this event, which was pretty successful, we had lots of people come up to play, we just sat together and thought, okay, what are all of the things that we are into, and what are some of the things that people can take charge of? So, you know, reached out to a board gaming club and said, can you take over the gaming part? Because we'll be busy running all of this other stuff, running the vendors hall and running a literary program and inviting guests and all that stuff. So really, I mean, going back to what you said about including cosplay, if you don't have that person, I mean, you could decide, but try to find as many people that are in as many different areas of the fandom that you can then include into this one thing. And we were quite successful with that because we managed to pull people from all of these areas, from anime, from manga fandom, from gaming fandom, from video gaming fandom, from literary fandom, and so on and so forth. And we even had people from previous generations of fans in Luxembourg come out of the woodwork and say, well, it's not actually the first Luxembourg, because back then we were not and we invited them, we had a great panel about fandom through the generations, and at the end, this guy came up to us and said, yeah, this is completely different to what we did. he was really thankful for that, like, thanks for keeping the fandom alive, thanks for doing something that we thought of, but, you know, it was 60 guys sitting in the basement of a pizzeria somewhere.
Martin, you have, we can put in a question here. Have you seen anything that works in including new sort of subgenres into classical science fiction creation?
Yeah, actually, we've come with a bit of a weird counter example in. I'm going to take on my Finnish hat, and that is about that FinCom, so that is FreeCom always, and so they managed to become the always fairly large, they go around the different four cities in Finland, and I suppose in the smallest place maybe it's 2,000 participants, something like that, and then the biggest ones, I mean, it's hard to tell.
here comes the thing. For a number of years, FinCon was organized together with an AnimeCon, which was very much cosplay, that was a big part of that. But in the end, so they didn't have the same. There was one convention, FinCon, AnimeCon, and well, a huge number of people. I don't know which was the biggest one. The first I went to was 2009 in Helsinki. I think altogether were like 15,000 people around there. I don't know.
Counting Finnish way.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I mean, there were so many people. I mean, there was a big part of cosplay crowd outside. And that was supposed to be with. It's hard to count. And they don't really have to because they don't have a membership fee. In the end, it basically, I think it became too big. That's my understanding. I don't know if you've seen it now, but it's more affordable. It just became a
It became really big, and the AnimeCon people were not interested in helping out with the running of it. So the FinCon people had to do all the con running, and the anime people were just coming along. I mean, and they were something like 5,000 children under the age of 18. And it became really, really messy and difficult and cumbersome.
Yes. Yeah. So, and also, I mean, since it was free, it was also the cost that was talked about. The cost of running a good cosplay event costs money. Yeah.
That's not true. Yeah. That's not true, honestly. That's really not true. We're running our cosplay contest. Okay, so our cosplay contest costs, I think, about 500 euros maximum. So you just need a good people who can manage to do that, and that's it.
Yeah,
it sounds so simple.
Who know exactly what they're doing, and that's all fine. Yeah,
I think it's.
I mean, you're right, but this is the thing. I mean, if you don't have the people who are willing to get engaged, if you don't have the people who are doing that, then it's not so simple. You know.
I'm not sure if I'm correct with this, but different countries have different levels of costs. In Finland, finding a venue where you can run a true good cosplay contest, paying for that venue, I doubt it is more expensive than in Croatia.
This also depends on the expectation of the cosplay community. I can tell from the cosplay community in Poland, which I know the best, that also depending on the tone, they expect a different way of being treated. And while if you are running a small convention for 300 people and you make a cosplay competition, most probably the top level stars will not appear, but it would be okay to have a stage made out of school benches and doing all that and no lighting. If you are running a bigger convention like BerCon, probably the stage itself will cost more than a few thousand euros in total, not to mention lighting and other stuff. So the expectation also vary, and of course the pricing between countries can vary very, very strongly.
Yeah. This touches upon another point that I wanted to start a discussion on, but we are running out of time. So in Croatia, we've managed to all the conventions have non-commercial venues, such as universities, schools. One of the reasons that we are able to do that is perhaps that science fiction clubs and societies organize conventions in the same venue each year. So we get to have a good working relationships, and we basically pay only housekeeping. So that's why our cost structure for most of the conventions in Croatia is different. And as we have sort of programming throughout the year, and we work with children and have all different sorts of community programs, we often get funding on support programs from city councils and state supporting culture. So that's a very different cost base that I believe, for example, this convention has had. Can you share some of the creative ways that you've managed to break down, you know, the overhead costs of venues and rentals, because that's obviously a big part of your cost structure.
It was not me, but negotiation. The Polish National Convention called Polcon, I believe it was 2007, they rented a hotel, and through a long negotiation process and explaining that this is non-for-profit organization, so that no one will get any money, they were able to negotiate the final price to be less than the VAT tax of the beginning price. So,
wow.
But not me, not me.
Still impressive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, my method has been just constant whining. And sometimes they give away. But the first convention we held, it was at the library that I used to work at. So it was very fair, very free. But then when we had the IceCon for real, it's in an old theater, so it's very nice. And it's actually run by the city, so we have... it's a very nice venue and very cheap. Everything else in Iceland is hugely expensive. Drinks and hotels, oh my god.
Yeah,
yeah, it's that's the really hard part of the convention. Iceland is very expensive, and there's not much that we can do about it. But I do try my best still at constantly whining at everybody, including hotel runners and so on.
That's a good strategy.
I think that's it. You know, it's with the, certainly in Ireland, both in Northern Ireland and the Republic, there isn't a lot of history of the state getting involved in that, of providing that. So it's commercial venues. The universities run their own thing, you know, that they will get those cheaper venues. But for the non-university affiliated conventions, you are going to a commercial location. And if there's anything I learned from James Bacon over the running of WorldCon, probably two or three things, it was, you know, never accept that first offer, or the second, or the fifth, or the tenth. Always look for ways of trying to persuade them. And I'm really hoping that the success we've had in WorldCon, and, you know, now our third EuroCon on the island, etc., this weekend, will get it more in people's heads, because we've got a lot of funding from the tourism board, from Dublin City Council, things like that. And we're hoping we next go back to them. They'll go, oh yeah, that awesome thing. So it's repeated, and never, you know, the first time you're never going to get what you want.
But does it need always to be a hotel? I mean,
it's a question of what's available.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Certainly for in Ireland, if we turned around to Trinity College, they're going to go, great, high, this is the cost.
I know.
You know, so it's what happens in your own country. Different countries, different universities will give things away in different ways.
But in Dublin, the NCI was basically open to cooperation, but there was scheduling.
We came to the too late. So, you know, next time we'll go to them earlier.
Yeah. But they were, you know, ready to.
Yeah, or I told them we cut off their internet.
In Stockholm, we tend to use like a municipal culture center, and when we start approached them, they were welcoming. But the thing that was that, yes, if you were a non-profit organization, it was became a bit cheaper. And so we reached an association that started to organize the EuroCon. And now they like us, and we have been there for a number of times. And we realized, well, we go, we use a normal, they have a fixed price. But we see that she kind of forgets to charge us some things there. So it becomes a bit cheaper than that. Okay, we could have more odd ways to lower costs. Well, we have a local fan who travels a lot to work. Donated like bonus points to hotels, so we get basically the hotel rooms for free for us.
That's smart.
Yeah.
We have just time for one more comment, so Darius will share.
So I'm from Romania, and I want to share my experience in this method, because all of you know that most part of the convention is the venue. So I have with friends an NGO which is deals with cultural and educational events, and our approach was this: we offered our cooperation to the events, local events in the city where we are, year from year, before trying to get something. So first give and then ask. So this was good because all the people from the local council know us, knew us from the previous years when we participated with the program items in the local local convention. So, and after that, when we went to the local council to ask for the venue, they give it us for free. So that's one of the possibilities you have. Just go to the local council, offer something year after year to them, and then go and ask for something in return.
That's a great long-term strategic approach. We are out of time, unfortunately, but I do not consider this panel to be over. Please look around you, remember the faces, and continue the conversation for the rest of the day.
And yes,
there's Facebook,
internet, of course. There's nothing. And there is actually Eurosmoth group on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's called Eurosmoth.
Eurosmoth. You're there to find it. Thank you very much, Paul.